It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen.
Greetings and salutations, everyone everywhere. There they are. So glad to welcome them back to the show. They're here in the studio. They're waiting for us. Yes, it is Product Genius without Tiffany Krumen today. Woohoo! Wait a minute. I'm not cheering because she's not here. I'm cheering because we're excited to do the show. We're having to do the show without Tiffany, but I do not come alone. To my left is my producer, Jody Smith, who you will never hear from because great producers are never heard from. They just work behind the scenes. To my right, across the table, is Mr. Seth Gillen from Fulfillment Strategies International because it's an FSI Shark Tank Spotlight show. Seth, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see me. And thank you. I know it took a lot of cajoling for you to come in and do the show without Tiffany because you said, do you remember what you said in your email?
I didn't know we were going to bring that up.
Yeah. Well, of course. We got to let everybody behind the curtain. We're a transparent show. Transparency is the new buzzword. Seth said, well, I'd rather it be Tiffany that's here and Steven not here. But if I'm stuck with Steven, okay, I'll come into the studio. And there was a lot of love behind that sarcasm in the response. So Tiffany
sarcasm.
Is not here.
What sarcasm?
You are a man of high integrity. You only speak the truth. So Tiffany's not here. And I told her that she could leave it in my capable hands to explain to everybody why she's not here. It's more of a mystery more than anything. Actually, she had enough of my stuff and said, that's it. I can't stand you. I'm not coming in. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the truth. Tiffany is away on business,
yeah,
right?
Her empire is expanding.
Yes. And we can't go into any more detail than that.
That's right.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please read perspective. Oh, wait a minute. That's my other job. She's away on business. It was something she could not get out of. We had already set up the show. And she asked our genius around the table, Seth and FSI, hey, would you be okay doing the show without me? And Seth said, well, yeah, I guess so. No, Seth said, of course. So typically when we talk, we talk about you, you guys are the spotlight for the show. Now you're in the spotlight a little bit today, a little bit more than normal.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not going to sit on the sideline quite as much.
You're not going to be holding the spotlight. You're actually on the stage. So we've got Gifford holding the spotlight. He's not on the air. So we're excited. I'm excited to do the interview today, right?
Yes, we are. Got a great guest.
Yeah, fantastic guest. So we'll remind everybody about FSI at the end of the show. It is time to get the guest on the show, and let's remind everybody who we're going to shine the spotlight on. So we are excited and thrilled to have Carson and Jason Grill from Touch Up Cup. Say that five times fast, Seth. Actually, don't. Leave it to the professional. Leave it to the slightly annoying co-host. So Jason and Carson Grill, welcome to Product Genius without Tiffany Krumen's today.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So right off the top, the biggest elephant in the room that must be discussed is Jason and Carson are father and son. So let's start with Carson. You are tell everybody how old you are.
I'm 16 years old. I actually turned 16 just last week.
Fantastic. And I told you off the air that I wasn't going to sing happy birthday to you on the air. That promise will hold. Jason, I will not ask your age, but you are Carson's father. And before we get into the product, let me start with the question of, I guess, is the chicken or the egg came first? This product, Touch Up Cup, that we're going to talk about and the journey that you guys have been on, how much of this was you? How much of this was Carson? How much of this was you guys working together? Jason, you tell the story real quick of kind of how you two are working together.
Yeah. So Carson had the idea about maybe three and a half years back. And he really ran with it. He had made some different prototypes in the house. We had a few made. And the idea is all his. Now with Carson having a day job of, being a sophomore in high school, his mom, my wife, Julie, she is now full time in the business, and I have a full time day job and I help out whenever I can. But this is Carson's baby, and he's run with it and really made it a huge success, Both of us love Shark Tank. Both of us have seen every episode out there, as well as Tiffany's. And we just love the show. We wanted to be on it. And what better product, you know, than the Touch Up Cup to go on the show with. So, yeah, this is Carson's baby, and we're running with it.
I love it. So in the realm of that, that might be the only answer you give in this whole interview, Jason, because if this was Carson's baby, you are very willing, and you said this to us as we were preparing the show, you're very willing to let him run with the interview too. But, you know, just in case his voice gives out, because he is a teenager, and actually he said he was away at camp last week, so, you know, if he runs out of steam, or if we need adult supervision, we'll call for you, Jason. But otherwise, let's go ahead and let Carson start running with it like he's been running with the company. So, Carson, Touch Up Cup, tell everybody listening, if they haven't seen the Shark Tank spot yet, tell everybody about the product and what it does.
Yes. Yeah, so the Touch Up Cup is a 13-ounce polypropylene cup for paint with extra threads. So a normal typical cup that you would screw on a lid would have two threads for a semi-seal, but ours has four threads. So the extra threads, which work with a silicone seal and a uniquely designed blending sphere, those all work together to extend the freshness of paint by over 10 years so it doesn't get rusty, clumpy, and aerated inside of the traditional can, like I'm sure we've all dealt with in the past.
And the reason someone would want this, first of all, fantastic 30-second elevator pitch. That's fantastic. But for anybody who hasn't put two and two together, the main purpose of this is for touching up paint, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's for easy and accessible touch up. Our motto is just shaking paint, baby. You grab the touch up cup from under your sink, in a closet, in your basement, wherever you keep your paint. And you can rely that your paint will be just as fresh as the day you bought it up to 10 years later.
So the idea is I get done painting painting that room, that particular color. Up till now, everybody keeps that big giant can of paint and they stick it in their garage and they got, you know, seven of them, however many different colors they have. And they come back a couple years later when it's time to touch up and it's all gooey and nasty and gross. And this way they pour it into the touch up cup. And then first of all, less storage. And secondly, fresher storage.
Absolutely.
Man. All right, I'm ready to wrap up, Seth. All right, you've heard from... No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so where did this first start? Why did you first get the idea? Where did it come from?
Yeah, so my dad, who you heard from before, he was actually a Marine, but he doesn't like me saying was a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Semper Fi.
But yes, he is. He's very particular about our house. He runs it kind of in a military style. And so any mark I'd make on the wall, backpack scuff, anything like that, dent, it would be my responsibility to fix that wall and touch up with his supervision, of course. And he'd watch me vigorously stir at the paint for like 5 minutes, taking off that top layer of rust, clumps, and disgustingness just to get it to a good consistency. So after a few times of doing that, I'm like, hey, Dad, can I just go on the internet, look for something to keep this paint fresh? And then we can just keep it and it'll make it easy for any time I mess up with the walls. He's like, yeah, sure, buddy. So I go on there and there really wasn't anything on the market. So what better than necessity, the mother of invention? I actually came up with the product and my dad helped fund and helped me develop the product.
Wow. Okay. So from idea, from that moment of I think I've got a need here that I think I can fill if I develop a product. How long of a process until you had a prototype, and then how long of a process until you had your product ready to sell on the market?
Yeah. So from the day that the idea popped into my mind, it was about a probably 6 to 8 month process to get a real prototype of what we liked. And really, that is not at all what you see with the Touch Up Cup today. That was just a basic plastic cup. It didn't have our unique label on the front to label what the color number is, what room you used it in, and the date you put it into the cup. It didn't have any of that. It was on a clip strip type of thing. And we really liked the product then because, you know, it's all we had. It's all we could think of, all we could design. But we brought that product to the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas. And that was probably late October of 2017, and we brought the product there. we got connections, which was a huge part of developing this business. So we got like hundreds of business cards from manufacturers, graphic designers, third-party logistics companies, all types of people that could help us bring this product to market and really run with what we thought we had was a great product. And actually, some of the manufacturers that we got cards from there, that we got contact information, we talked with, because we were just buying generic plastic cups overseas and building them ourselves, but that really wasn't feasible if we wanted to get into great quantities like we're selling actually today. And so we got with a great manufacturer who works through a liaison out of Canada, and he's been our number one help partner since day one. So day one of the company, and then we actually found a very local to us in Cincinnati, a great graphic designer who's been helping us with everything from packaging to displays to helping develop new products. We found him, and just really connections from the beginning is what's helped us to get to this spot.
Was that these connections, you say you met a lot of these at the show, was that pre or post Shark Tank?
Oh, pre Shark Tank, yes. Okay.
So my question was going to be, Carson, you're 16 years old at the time you're doing this, you're somewhere between 13 and 15. And Jason, this might be a question where you jump back in, but Carson, let me start with you. Was there a novelty in your mind? Do you think there was a little bit of a novelty of cool factor of the fact that you were a teenager developing this product, we've interviewed a couple other teenagers, and there are times where that can definitely be a coolness factor. But I would imagine even if it was, it quickly was shadowed by what a fantastic idea that fits a need that everybody who has anybody that lives inside of four walls would go, yeah, I'd like to touch up, but I ran out of paint. I'm not going to go buy another one just to do a little touch up. So was there an approachability because you were a teenager, or was it just, do you think it was mostly just, no, this product just hit a nerve and people liked it?
I think it was more of the product rather than me.
Perfect.
I mean, sure, I'm the face of the company and people enjoy seeing me starting, me and my dad, obviously, starting this business and running with it on Shark Tank, all the publicity we got there. People have really loved seeing me and my dad doing that as a father-son duo. But I think also it's just the product really is feasible. Everyone needs one. Everyone, like you said, that lives in four walls needs to do touch-up at some point, whether it's moving furniture, whether they have little kids, fingerprints, anything like that. It's really a every household in America, in the world type of thing.
Seth, I tried to throw our guest by kind of throwing him a question about, you know, how much of it was teenager, you know, infatuation. He handled it like a pro, and he just turned it and pivoted, and man, this guy's a pro.
Really impressive.
All right. So let me ask. So I do want to dig a little deeper, because I think, Carson, you've hit on something that in our shows, I don't think we've talked about enough. I think we've talked about it, but we haven't talked about enough. You were talking about connections. So you're at the show. Give some advice to people listening to this show who are just starting out, who are still in development, who haven't really gone out a lot, because Seth and I actually met networking. Seth and I met trying to get some connections for my day job and his business with FSI. And we met doing some networking, and I think Seth would agree with me wholeheartedly. It there's a little bit of an art to it, and it can be done really, really well, and it can be done really, really poorly. And even if it's done average, it still can be beneficial. So talk about those connections. I assume you had a booth, or did you go around a booth? Kind of talk through that process, and what was your approach? What was your opening line? What, you know, give some advice to how you did it.
Yeah. So that year we actually did not have a booth there. We have in the past, the years before that, or the years after that, we have had booths. And that year we went in as inventors. So we got passes to get into the show. We brought our own business cards, our prototypes of what we really thought was a great product. All you really need to do when networking is have complete 100% confidence that what you're doing is right, that your product is the best out there, that it's going to solve a problem, that everyone's going to love it. You don't want to have a doubt in your mind that someone's going to tell you no. Even though they will, that can't discourage you when you have that much confidence in your product. So you That's go out there, approach. Meet all these people at the show, get their numbers. Some people aren't going to be interested, but there's going to be others that absolutely love what you're doing, love how you're running your company and how you want to run it in the future and how they may be able to help with that.
Carson, before you developed this product, what type of education had you got? You know, you said your dad, always a Marine, kind of ran the house in a military type way, a lot of, you know, discipline, chores to do, things to get done, orderly fashion, all that. Did you take some classes on business? Did you guys do a unit in school, on business? Have you kind of had an entrepreneurial mind that you now look back and go, boy, when I was 10, I was turning my Pokemon cards and Magic the Gathering stuff and trading for higher. I mean, where did this come from? As far as the business side of things,
it's really been great growing up in my household with the entrepreneurial spirit here, because when I was just 10 years old, my dad came to me, he said, "Hey buddy, I think there's money to be made in this." And that was flipping cars, which is something that we still do and enjoy to date. And so when I was 10 years old, he gave me a few lists of websites that I could check out, a price range, and we'd go look at them. So I was 10 years old car shopping. I was going all over the internet looking for these small convertibles. We'd buy them in the winter, sell them in the summer, do cosmetic work in between. And we have really taken that business and we flipped 12 cars to date. We sold one about a month ago and we've made money, which some of that money has actually gone into starting our business way back when we needed our injection molds and things like that. And also the lump sum that my parents put into it, which I'm very thankful for still. But to answer your question, I did not have any sort of business or entrepreneurial classes. It was really my parents sparking that entrepreneurial spirit in me. And also Shark Tank. I grew up on Shark Tank. I grew up watching every night. I think it went from Wednesday night to Friday night, but we still did it. Every single episode that aired, we were there watching. We were the biggest fans in our hearts. And that entrepreneurial spirit has been here. My dad actually started a company when he was just 14. And I grew up with him telling me about that and different companies and things that he started. And just really, he's helped me. Him and my mom have helped me to be successful like I am today.
If anyone is a fan of the show Phineas and Ferb, the way I am with my kids, I'm wondering if you actually lived one of the moments in Phineas and Ferb where somebody said to you, "Aren't you a little young to be shopping for cars to flip?" And you said, "Yes, yes, I am." So anyway, that was my little pop culture reference. Not a good one, but it was the one I came up with.
I understand.
Yeah, exactly. So we're speaking with Jason and Carson Grill. They are with Touch Up Cup, and they are such big fans of Shark Tank, and they still agreed to appear on our show, the one show that Tiffany's not here for. So, by the way, I think you guys and Carson, I think you should be in charge of negotiating after the show, the follow-up emails and stuff that our listeners will not get to be a part of, where you negotiate with Tiffany how you pumped up the show Shark Tank, you pumped up your own appearance, and she wasn't on this podcast, and you had to suffer with just me doing the interview. So I think you should hold out for at least an autographed picture.
He fills that void on his own. No doubt about it.
I know. I'm telling him, and he's like, "No, I've already strategized that, and I'm gonna, you know, get her to go in on a recommended of a car deal that you guys can flip or something like that." Jason, I am gonna bring you back in for one quick question. Based on Carson's answer to that, so there is no question. As he was describing going around getting the connections for the product at the first event and subsequent events, I'm imagining a lot of that confidence and polish and getting your pitch down. I would imagine that came out of you and you two working together, negotiating car sales and car purchases and just what you've been instilling with him. And I know there's a lot more than business, but the business aspect, kind of instilling that and giving him experience in that. Did I get that right? What else did he not say that you want to add to the education process you did with him?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We love working together. We have run a few small businesses together. And he's being modest. He has many products out there, more than just the Touch Up Cup. He is, his work ethic is unbelievable. He is 16 years old, gets his license next week. He's already bought his first car. He works at the golf course down the road. He gets there at 5:45 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And he's always found ways to make money. And it's not all about money. He gives back. I mean, yeah, you know, gives back to the church and so forth, but he just loves business. He loves solving problems for people. He has two older sisters that, you know, they would have sleepovers all the time. We'd go out and get them muffins, bagels, donuts in the morning. You know, the other products that were on Shark Tank are the Muffin Keeper, the Bagel Keeper, the Donut Keeper. And he invented those to keep those baked goods fresher longer. And those are doing great in store and on Amazon and all over the internet. So he's being modest. He'll sit down with the attorneys for the patents, and he'll talk with them. He'll talk with the overseas manufacturing, the shipping logistics, or 3PL. He's very, very involved. Like I said on the show, you know, they said, "Hey, Dad, you're not saying much." And I like it that way, because yeah, I'm very confident in Carson and all he's doing. Now, have we made mistakes along the way? Absolutely. We've made a lot of mistakes. And the one big thing that we talk about every day is, it's all right to make mistakes. Let's just not make huge mistakes.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That are really going to change the direction of this business. And, you know, some of those partners we partner with early on, they didn't work out, and we, you know, we find new ones, yeah, and new ways of doing business. So he's amazing. And I learn from him as much as he learns from me.
I love it. Carson, I'm going to pivot the interview just a little bit and put you on the spot a little bit, and you can blame your dad later, but I don't think you will, because I think you'll handle this like a business professional. Give our listeners at least one of those mistakes. You've got a room full of people who do product-based businesses just like you've been building. Give them a chance to learn from your mistake, to possibly not make that mistake, or not make it, you know, not get out of it, or recognize it quicker. Maybe give me a mistake that you've made that you're like, boy, if I learned from that one, and I won't make that mistake again.
Yeah. So way in the beginning, when I was actually just starting to develop the Touch Up Cup, I was thinking that I could take on the world. I could do it all myself. I can't. No one can. You need help. Everyone needs mentors and help along the way. So one thing that happened was, I ran to my parents with the idea. We were working on it. And before we even went to that first event, the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas, we decided to go on a whim and start with a manufacturer overseas that we hadn't met in person. We hadn't even really talked to, but the pricing was good, and we thought they'd make a quality product that we could trust. And that wasn't so true. We poured, I poured the money that my parents gave me into the initial injection molds to create the lid, to create the blending sphere, to create everything for the touch-up cup, which was pretty expensive, especially to a 13-year-old kid who was just given that money. And they didn't produce a product that we were satisfied with. We weren't satisfied with the way things were going, anything like that. And so once we went to that National Hardware Show and found a good manufacturer that we were able to sit down and talk with, talk about how they ran their company, the moral ethics that they have behind their manufacturing, everything like that, we were able to decide to switch to them and get away from that first manufacturing site that we weren't too happy with. And they weren't happy that we were switching from them. And they decided to actually destroy the injection molds that we had paid for, that we had poured all that money into. And that was just a heartbreaking moment for me and for my parents, because we were starting to get this business rolling. We were excited for where it was going, and we just stopped. We hit a roadblock, but we learned to move on, carry on through anything. You can get through it. And that actually helped us to get where we are today.
So was the mistake, so what you learned from the mistake was that you should have maybe taken a little more time, and it was the interview of the second manufacturer that showed you, maybe I should have slowed down and really made sure of who I'm partnering with in terms of manufacturing this injection mold. Would that be the advice?
Yeah, just because you're excited about something doesn't mean you should rush into it.
Yeah.
You should always take your time with everything because it'll work out better in the long run.
And the other piece of advice I heard you say as well was you can't do everything yourself. That is something, Seth, I think, you know, we've heard Tiffany say that's the whole purpose of Tiffany's show, right?
Absolutely.
That's why we call it Product Genius, is no one is a genius of everything. There was a period of time in this show where I would humorously attempt to say what I wasn't a genius of, because we are not geniuses at everything. And so we have to surround ourselves with geniuses, in your case, third-party logistics, in other cases, you know, whether it's patent attorneys and things like that, Noah with Product Quick Start, developing the product. So those geniuses, you gotta run them through the ringer a little bit. You gotta interview them. You gotta make sure you're comfortable with who you're working with, right?
It's all about references, finding who you're able to work with and who puts out a good product in your eyes. It's your business in the long run. You have to find good partners that you would want in your team, in your business, which we have found. We are really thankful to have the same manufacturer that I talked about, that second one. He's putting out a great product. We're still with the initial designer that we're with, and he's great. He's helping us with all the displays. We actually just got into Lowe's. We got into about 605, 606 Lowe's stores around the north division of the United States. He also helped us develop the display for Walmart, and we're getting into Walmart. We're in about 700 Walmarts right now, but by the February of 2022, we are told we're going to be in all 3,940 Walmarts around the United States. And that's really thanks to all the references, the great people, that partners that we've worked with. And we have a great sales rep. We have great sales reps all over the world now, because we're getting our product into stores in New Zealand. We're going into all 500 Canadian Tires. So we're getting international, which is all thanks to the sales reps that we've had, partnerships we've made along the way.
Man.
That's remarkable.
So Carson, I'm going to attempt to do something, and I might make a fool of myself. I'm allowed to do that once an episode, and we're getting toward the last half of the show. So I feel like I can really take a risk with this. I'm going to give you a free marketing piece of advice that can develop into an income stream. Okay. You ready to receive this?
Yes.
There was a pause there, which was a pause of uncertainty. So, I have a longstanding joke. I've been doing this show with Tiffany for about 5 years now. And there's a longstanding joke I have that everybody loves to make a joke with the slightly annoying co-host, that I have, quote, a face for podcasting. So I came up with a nice comeback line for that, where I would say, you know, I get a dollar every time somebody says that. So I look at them and wait for them to give me a dollar. Nobody ever has, but it does. It is a nice little connection, right? Where they are saying that I'm ugly, and I'm saying, oh yeah, well, you owe me a dollar, because I have a license agreement that I get a dollar every time someone says that. So I think every time someone goes, how old are you, kid? Or wow, you're a teenager. You should go, I get a dollar every time someone acknowledges that, because as we found out from this interview, you are not just a teenager who runs a company. You are a CEO of a company that is very successful and is going global and fulfills a fantastic need and has created good connections and has learned how to do great negotiations and has found great partners to work with to expand your business. Oh, and oh, by the way, you happen to be under 18 years old. So that's not the lead, and I made it the lead. So I apologize. I owe you a dollar.
No, basically what I'm saying.
Let me ask this. You've kind of talked about how you've gotten to this point, and what's next, and or what are some of the other products that you're working on?
The environment's changed completely too with the pandemic. I mean, we're mid 2021. I know we don't like to date our shows sometimes.
Sure.
But you know, you're in an e-commerce channel now, but you're also talking about Walmart and Lowe's and all these other retail channels that you're in as well. Where do you see the direction of the company going there as well, if you can expand on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point of the company is not paint solutions. The point of the company is to create innovative products to solve common household problems. And everybody has problems within a household. So the paint getting rusty, clumpy, and aerated, the muffins, bagels, and donuts going bad after just a couple of days, So I came up with the touch-up cup to extend the freshness of paint by over 10 years, the muffin, bagel, and donut fresh to extend the freshness of muffins, bagels, and donuts by 3 to 4 days longer than conventional packaging. And I have a new product out right now called the Piggy Pouch for bacon grease. It's a 12-ounce, 300-degree heat-sensitive foil pouch with an industrial Ziploc. So it opens up, stands on its own. You pour your excess cooking bacon grease into it. It solidifies inside the bag. You zip it up. Smell won't get all throughout your house. And you can store it and use it for later. Or you can keep piling onto it and throw it away, as I sell a pack of 6 of those for $9.99. I also have...
Is there a website for that? Piggy Pouch Shop?
So it is not on our website as of yet. We're working with our logistics company to get it on there. But as of right now, it's for sale on Amazon.
Okay.
And also, we have new products coming out in the line of paint direction, such as the touch-up tarp, which is a non-slip drop cloth. So it's not tacky to touch. It's not uncomfortable like that, but it adheres to hardwood, laminate, concrete, tile, any type of flooring that may be shown in a residential household or even commercial. So it adheres to that. And you won't slip. So say you're painting up and down a flight of stairs. You can walk up and down it with a touch-up cup or a can of paint in your hand, knowing that you're not going to slip. And if you do, you're not going to fall far. You're just going to fall down and the drop cloth won't slip out from under you. The paint might spill, but it's non-permeable, so it won't go through to the floor beneath. And the paint will stay on top of the drop cloth. And you can throw it in the washer. We've actually had it tested to be machine washable up to 50 times without any sort of deterioration being shown. I also have touch-up brushes coming out that are going to work in connection with the touch-up cup and the touch-up tarp to get that cart price on our website and Amazon up so we can get more towards like a $50 cart price and do free shipping and things like that rather than just a $14.99 touch-up cup or a $19.99 touch-up tarp. We're going to start doing bundles and things like that, which is really great. And so we have those products with patents. So I have 5 patents right now, and I'm working to get more and bring new products to market as well.
So the website for TouchUp Cup is touchupcup.com. How else would people search for all these other products? Is it where they just go to Amazon and start, you know, give people some advice of where to go to find things other than touchupcup.com.
Yeah. So the touchup cup and the muffin bagel donut fresh, as well as the touchup tarp, are all available on our website right now.
Got it.
All products are available on Amazon. The touchup cup and the muffin bagel donut fresh are available on thehouse.com and the Grommet. The touch-up cup is available in Walmarts across the United States, which are scattered right now, but they will be in all Walmarts by February of 2022. And if you're in the northern region, ranging from Illinois to Maine, they are in all Lowe's locations across all those states, as well as we're getting into Canadian Tire here in the next couple months across Canada, all 500 of those.
Wow. So if they go to touchupcup.com and go to the home menu, they can see the touch-up cup, the fresh line, the touch-up tarp, and learn more about you. And like you said, you can also search through Amazon, and you're also in the stores. I'm going to ask you one last question, Carson. You said, when I kind of asked you to expand on what else is out there and where you guys are going, you said you gave a line about we are more than just the touch-up cup. We are innovative products. And then give me that line again.
Yeah, so we're a company based on creating innovative products to solve common household problems.
Okay, so solve common household problems. So I'm expecting you and your father will be working on parent-teen relationships and parent-child relationships, since that's a common household problem. When you get that solved, will you come back on our show and give us the, because you can charge $1 million each for that solution, right?
I'll try my best.
Okay. All right. Very good. So Carson Grill and Jason Grill with touchupcup.com. Gentlemen, thank you so much for appearing on the show. Just what a fantastic interview. What a fantastic product. What a fantastic company. And thank you for sharing some time with us today.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you, Steven, Seth, Gifford, and even Tiffany, even though she wasn't able to make it today. We're really glad to be on your show, and we were really glad to have this invitation. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm telling go ahead, Jason.
No, I was just going to say the same thing as Carson. Hey, thank you. We love talking with people out there. We've had so much fun doing this business together. We've learned a lot. So if anybody has questions, reach out to us on our website, and we're happy to help out.
Fantastic. Thank you guys very much for being here. All right, Seth, man.
Yeah.
Did you learn something today?
What a great guest. I mean, that really, really hits home with our audience. I really think so. I mean, that's
I was going back to what I was doing at 16.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
The closest thing I got to being a business owner at 16, I was collecting baseball cards. This is the right around 1988, right as baseball cards started. I actually paid for a little bit of college by running some card shows and flipping my collection and doing some things. So there was a little bit. And I've always said I had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. I wasn't running a multinational corporation, that's for sure. But I hope everybody picked up on what I was trying to say in a subtle satirical way is I would bet people have made the mistake of going, oh, how cute, a teenager. Not oh, how cute. Anyone, any age who understands and learns and works hard and figures things out and understands business, that guy knows business.
Yes.
He knows what he's doing, and his dad fanned that flame, gave him some instruction, set him loose, put him in the, you know, did some things with him about flipping cars, learning about that. Then he started, and then he encouraged, you know, giving him some rope and seeing where he goes. And, you know, he just knows how to make good connections. And it's so funny. One of the skills is developing good relationships, a skill of learning how to negotiate, a skill of, he mentioned his sales reps.
Yeah. At 16 years old, he's so much more advanced than some of the individuals I deal with. And that's not a,
in their 30s or 40s. And that's not a cut on them.
No, he's just that sharp, that far ahead. You just, well, just in this conversation, you can tell that.
But by the same token, as you're listening to him and as we're talking to him, and you and I have done this show a long time, you've been around business a long time. Tiffany's done business for over a decade. You start to recognize he's advanced, but really he's doing some good common sense. He's making some good, solid, simple decisions. And he's also, he talked about having 100% confidence. And one of the things Tiffany talks about all the time is I think sometimes in the product based business world, everybody's got confidence in their product, but it's about confidence in taking the next right step. And then when you don't, because that 100% confidence doesn't mean you're 100% right. Then when do I pull back? How do I adjust? What do I do? So I hope everybody learned as much as Seth and I did. I think Jody learned something too. He was taking notes furiously during the show. I think secretly because he wants to start his own product based business and get out of doing this show with us. But anyway, I'm sorry. I always do the negative thing. I apologize, Seth. For those people who are looking for a good third party logistics company who can help them along the way, can't do all their decisions, but you can certainly help with some of them. How should they get in touch with you?
Yeah. Just to help out, to offer our advice, whatever we can do, reach out to us at our website, fsi3pl.com, or you can hit us up on the phone at 678-391-5980.
And someone will answer the phone.
Every time.
Which in today's world is actually a value-added proposition. So, Seth, thank you for thank you guys for your partnership and powering the spotlight. We really appreciate it. So, we'll see if Tiffany doesn't fire me after this show. But I think I handled it pretty well. Tiffany, we miss you. We're glad you're on a great business trip. We hope you succeed with it. So for Seth, for Jody, for Tiffany, this is Steven saying we'll catch you next time on Product Genius.